let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. On the cover of Alfred Adams' book Conspiracy, an aircraft accident called the Miracle on 24th Street, considered to be the worst air disaster in the history of Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix, Arizona. When the twin-engine jet Sabreliner landed, the plane experienced total normal and emergency brake failure, crashing through a perimeter fence across 24th Street through a 6-foot concrete block wall. The wing struck 2 light standards, topping and stopping the aircraft, 8 on board, all escaping without injuries. Conspiracy is the author's story of the accident, also his autobiography, growing up in New York City, his move to California, to today. The pilot of that jet, Alfred Adams, an author of Conspiracy, has been a professional pilot for over 45 years, has flown thousands of hours in jet airplanes, helicopters, seaplanes, and gliders. His experience includes flying as a pilot on air carriers, corporate aviation, instructing and test flying airplanes and helicopters, and filming a television show for the Cousteau Society. Alfred Adams, author of Conspiracy, our guest on This Week in America. Alfred, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
Alfred is coming to us from his home via Skype on the program, talking about the book Conspiracy. So much in your background to talk about, and we'll start talking about the time that you spent. You worked your way up to a specialist in the FAA regional headquarters. Talk about that, because during that period, an FAA air traffic controller made a grave error which resulted in your brother losing his life. Talk about that. We'll begin the story there.
Okay. I had taught my brother's son-in-law, Vince, how to fly, and he bought an airplane and used it for commuting between his home and his office. And what happened was that my brother and Vince went to Lake Powell here in Arizona to go fishing for the weekend. And on the way back, they experienced a problem with the air traffic controller. There was an airplane, air guard, C-130, entered the traffic pattern on an emergency situation that nobody knew about. He just was a pop-up, as we classify it. And the pilot of the C-130 told the controller to get that Mooney, my nephew, Vince, to get that Mooney out of the way so that he can land his airplane. Well, with Vince hearing that, I'm sure he got a little nervous, because you can't see out the back of the airplane to see who is behind you. And consequently, when the controller demanded Vince do a maneuver the airplane wasn't capable of performing, the airplane stalled and crashed into a busy thoroughfare on Van Nuys Boulevard, killing them both, bursting into flame. They hit high power lines before crashing into the street.
And out of that came a lawsuit. Your daughter, brother's daughter, Judy, sued the FAA and won. Talk about that, because that sort of change had a great impact on your life, didn't it? Because the FAA ultimately blamed you for this.
That's correct, yes. What happened was, is since I taught Vince how to fly, my daughter's attorney wanted me to testify as to Vince's capability as a pilot. And so he subpoenaed me, which I have to honor or be in contempt of court. I had to show up for the hearing. When I was subpoenaed, I naturally had to tell the FAA about the subpoena. They told me, don't testify, you'll ruin your career. And at night and at home and on weekends, I would get calls from the attorneys in Washington and also the regional headquarters to not testify. And as I explained to them, I didn't have a choice but to testify. And I just been totally harassed until the court case came up. An FAA inspector is not allowed to testify as an expert witness to issues like this. But this was not a typical FAA inspector type of scenario, because it is my immediate family, and I can testify for my immediate family. And I was told and I understood that I was not supposed to give opinions. I could only testify to facts, no opinions or suppositions or anything. And so I did. I testified. And it took 6 to 8 months for the courts to render a decision on the matter. But when the decision came down, it was 100% fault of the FAA, or the air traffic controller.
And that was a $1 million judgment, and you were so concerned about the intimidation, the possibility of a vendetta, that although you were with the FAA, you took an early retirement because you were concerned they were going to come up with a reason to fire you.
One of the things that they did was, I was a supervising inspector at the Van Nuys, the Scottsdale office, both general and air carrier. And I received a letter from the division manager transferring me in grade as a GS-14 to the office in Los Angeles. The problem with it, when they transferred me into a position I was not qualified for. Had I moved there, it would have given them grounds to fire me because I was not qualified to hold that position. The position I held in Van Nuys was increased in complexity to where I should, that it was graded out as a GS-15. However, when all the paperwork went in for me to become a 15, it was sat on. No action was taken for over a year. And when I was left that position, basically I elected to retire instead of taking a chance on being fired in Los Angeles, and so consequently I retired. And the position, the person that they replaced me with, they gave him a GS-15 right off the bat. And so that was the reason they moved me, was to keep the, not give me the 15. And when I retired, that's when I went to work for Eastern Airlines.
With us on This Week in America is Alfred Adams. He's author of the book Conspiracy. The book is available at Amazon. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's work our way up to the accident that we see pictured on the cover of the book Conspiracy. You were doing some investigative work for Dr. Hal Price. Talk about him and how you ended up being in the aircraft.
Well, I got a call from Dr. Price after Eastern Airlines went down. I came back to Arizona, and prior to the position, my communication with Hal Price, Dr. Price, I took a position with a Japanese company out of Glendale, Arizona, as a vice president and director of operations, and to set up their flight school in helicopters. And the helicopter that we had was a distributor for was the Schweisser 300, which is the old Hughes 269 helicopter, which is a reciprocating helicopter. And I was being paid $100,000 a year in that position. And so I went out of town, and the FAA contacted Mr. Muto and had him meet with the FAA crew of three individuals. In this meeting, Mr. Muto was told that so long as I was working for Mr. Muto, they would not expect any certification from the FAA. And consequently, I was fired, and I lost that job. And that's when Dr. Price contacted me and said that he had talked to the FAA to find out who they knew was qualified in Sabreliners and that knew the airplane very well. Well, as a past instructor at the FAA Academy, I taught in the Sabreliner, so I knew the airplane inside and out. Dr. Price asked me to come down to inspect his airplane because he couldn't get the nose wheel steering to work, and they almost taxied into a hangar. But they did stop the airplane before any damage was done. So I went down there and investigated the nose wheel setup and found that the spring in the mechanism to connect the upper housing and the lower housing with the wheel on it was removed from its position and put on the opposite side to where the cam locking those two positions would not operate. consequently it didn't have any nose wheel steering. The indications were there, but no nose wheel steering. So I wrote a report and took pictures, analyzed it and everything, and gave it to the FBI for investigation, and they refused. They refused, telling me that they didn't want to, they didn't have the time to investigate, and consequently they weren't going to do anything. 2 months later, Dr. Price and I went back to Ohio on a business trip. We had 8 people on board the airplane, and 2 crew members and the rest passengers. Dr. Hal Price's pregnant daughter was with us also, Ginger, and she was in the back of the airplane, but both coming and going. Anyway, we took off from Ohio, and for some reason, to this day, I don't know why I did it, but I told Hal, I'm flying the airplane back, you sit in the right seat. So he did, he had no problem with that, and I flew the airplane back to Sky Harbor. When, you know, a jet airplane has got many lights and horns that if something goes wrong with any of the systems in the airplane, you get a warning.
Yes.
And maybe just a light, maybe a little bit of a horn, but you do get a warning. We had no indication of any problem whatsoever. So when I touched down and I put the engines in reverse to slow the airplane down, and that's the clamshells that come out at the back of an engine that when you apply the thrust reverses, thrust reverses and it slows the airplane down. What you need to do is put the thrust reverses back away so that no foreign matters on the runway can be ingested into the engine. So when Hal called off 60 knots, I put the thrust reverses away and the airplane starts accelerating unnaturally, which is totally surprising. And I reached up and hit the brakes, but the brake pedals were frozen in the full up position. I told Hal that, Hal, I don't have any brakes on my side. And he said, okay, I'll take it. So he took it and he says he doesn't have any brakes either. And so I took the airplane back and I look up at the far end of the runway and I see standpipes coming out of the runway. And I didn't want to hit those standpipes because they could sever the wing and have raw fuel being thrown into an engine, which could cause a massive explosion. So I turned off of the runway and went in between a couple of parked airplanes. And the airplane, the Sabreliner kept accelerating, and we almost got up to flying speed. Of course, we wouldn't maintain any flying speed because they just didn't have the throttles.
Yes.
When I tried to apply the throttles to make a go around, the throttles were jammed. I tried to put the thrust reversers out again, the thrust reversers were jammed. And consequently, when we went down the runway, I decided to get the bottom of the airplane to take the impact. So when we got down towards 24th Street, I raised the nose and to expose the bottom of the airplane to anything that we were liable to hit. When I did raise the nose, I could see across 24th Street and I saw 2 light standards evenly spaced apart, so that if I could get the airplane in between them, both wings would hit both those standards at the same time and wouldn't twist the airplane. So when we went across 24th Street, we didn't even feel the fence go down, and we hit a 6-foot concrete block wall, went through the wall, hit the 2 wings on the light standard, which took the wings off, but we did come sliding to a stop. And Hal's, the people in the back could not open the door, and Hal calmly got out of the seat and cleared the debris from underneath it and opened the door. I stayed in the cockpit, shutting everything down that I felt would start a fire. Unbeknownst to me, a fire had already started. Anyway, as I was climbing out of the seat, I saw on the left side of the airplane that burning fuel was running down the side. So I called to the people in the back to get out over the right wing, there's burning fuel on the right side. They did, and I waited there until they got the emergency exit open, and then I went out the front and ran through burning fuel. I stopped everybody at the nose of the airplane and counted everybody to make sure everybody was there. They were, and we continued running. And we got about 100 feet from it, and the airplane blew up.
It's just an amazing story. You'll see that airplane. You'll see the airplane intact, and at the moment of impact with the explosion, on the cover of the book Conspiracy by our guest on the program, the author Alfred Adams. A few minutes left in the program, but the FAA comes back into the picture again. What, they blame the accident on the pilot. Talk about that, and there was some missing evidence when everything was actually turned in for the accident report.
That's correct. What happened, the FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board investigated the accident. The National Transportation Safety Board inspector did a good job. His name is Jim Erickson, and really a neat guy. And he took our witness statements, my witness statements, explaining what happened to the brake pedals. If you don't have brake pedals, you don't have normal braking, and you don't have emergency braking. So we didn't have any braking whatsoever. And consequently, the FAA somehow removed those statements from the accident report, made the statement that it was unknown failure of the anti-skid system, and it caused the brake failure. Well, the anti-skid system was tested by the manufacturer, and the brake system tested fully functional, nothing wrong with it. And then the FAA filed a violation investigation against me and sent me a letter proposing to suspend my pilot certificate. I fought them, went to court, represented myself, and beat the FAA. And, you know, to this day, the FAA continues, well, I shouldn't say to this day, but quite a few years after the accident, the FAA continued their vendetta, and that's the reason that I moved to Saudi Arabia for 6 years to get away from the FAA.
You know, it's an amazing story of an agency that really multiple times has you in their sights and trying to vendetta. That's a word that I keep using. But going back to the initial plane accident with your brother, the title of the book is Conspiracy by Alfred Adams. What kind of response are you getting to the book in telling the story? And it's an autobiographical account, well, of your life, and you've done so much: Marine Corps, a judo champion, a law enforcement officer, worked for the phone company, shooting film in the air for Jack Cousteau. So much that you've done that's in the book. What kind of response are you getting with the conspiracy part of this?
I don't know too much about from Amazon, because they keep saying that I've got money coming to me, royalties, but they also say they're trying to put it in my bank account, and they can't. My bank keeps refusing to accept the money. So I don't know what's going on with that, but that's been happening ever since the book got published. And I'm going to try to do something, but I don't know what.
Yeah, that's just amazing. It's sort of like, not to be involved in conspiracy theory, but the conspiracy seems to keep going on. You just can't seem to separate from that. It's a chilling story of what was described as the miracle on 24th Street when it happened, considered to be the worst air disaster in the history of Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix, Arizona. The book is Conspiracy. The author, our guest, Alfred Adams. Alfred, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. It's just such a riveting story, and obviously to this day still trying to get the pieces fit together so you can make your royalties off selling the book Conspiracy. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program. You're doing fine today, it appears. Life is going well?
Oh, yes. Everything is doing very well. I'm having fun again.
It's about time. Go back after what you've been through. It's time to go back and enjoy life. Alfred Adams, our guest. The book is Conspiracy, available at, I'm going to say, Amazon. I don't know where else to get it, but buy it, and eventually maybe the money will get to the author, to the rightful place. Alfred, once again, thank you for being with us on the program.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for
your
hospitality.
You're welcome. The book Conspiracy, Alfred Adams. You'll find information on the book on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.